right, this is Pan and Slam's guide to the poor man's versions of famous actors. Hello, I am Jason Konigsberg here, and welcome to another edition of Pan and Slam, looking at actors now. And have you ever seen an actor and think that he or she reminds you of another more well-known and accomplished actor? Of course you have. That's how some people make their living in the movie business. Producers cannot afford the actor they want, so they hire the next best thing. An actor or actress who looks like the big-name star that they wanted but could not afford. The budget version of a household name, if you will. Maybe they could not afford the actor, or maybe the part was too small for them to accept the role. Either way, sometimes it stands out and takes away from the movie. Other times, it actually may enhance the movie because the bigger star would have served as more of a distraction in that role. So here we're going to look at Pan and Slam's Guide to the Poor Man's Versions of Famous Actors. The first one, there's two of them. William Devane and Michael Ironside are the poor man's Jack Nicholson. All right. During the 1970s, Jack Nicholson was, and still is, one of the biggest names in Hollywood. He was in practically a major movie every year throughout the 70s. But he could only do so much. So when you could not afford Jack, or he turned you down, turned down your part for something else, a lot of producers did the next best thing and hired William Devane. Never was this more obvious than in Hitchcock's final movie, Family Plot, from 1976. Originally, Hitchcock wanted Nicholson for the Bruce Dern role, and he turned it down. However, someone must have really wanted Jack or a Jack Nicholson-like presence in that film, because they hired William Devane to go opposite Bruce Dern, and William Devane both looks and sounds exactly like Jack Nicholson. Jack's star power still loomed long into the 80s and 90s, and that is where Michael Ironside comes in. I mean, just look at this guy. Look at those eyebrows. He often starred as the heavy in some roles such as Scanners, Total Recall, and even the next Karate Kid. There is no doubt in my mind that if the filmmakers had their way on those pictures, Jack Nicholson would have starred as the villain in each one of those films and probably many more parts that Michael Ironside has done over the years. Side note, when Christian Slater exploded onto the scene in the early 1990s, a lot of people were comparing him to Jack Nicholson with his look and his demeanor and his eyebrows, but I highly doubt he ever got jobs because Jack Nicholson turned them down. The age gap is too big, and unless he was supposed to play his father, Christian Slater's father in something, it would not make sense for either actor to be taking roles offered to the other. So moving on, our next one. James Duvall is the poor man's Keanu Reeves. Throughout the 1990s, Keanu Reeves was one of the biggest names in Hollywood. With hits like Point Break, Speed, and The Matrix, he was a box office force to be reckoned with. His career has since dwindled, other than the John Wick movies, which have brought him back from the brink of irrelevance, but during his heyday, he was getting so many offers that he could not possibly fulfill them all. Enter James Duvall. No relation to Robert Duvall or Clea Duvall, they spell their names differently. This guy probably got some big scripts thrown his way because he looked shockingly similar to Keanu Reeves when Keanu was one of the biggest actors on the planet. James Duvall popped up in films like Independence Day, Go, and Gone in 60 Seconds, making audience for a second say, "Hey, it's Keanu!" No, wait, never mind. All right. Our next one. This is a bit of a triplets issue here. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the poor man's Robert Downey Jr. and Javier Bardem. This guy is fortunate, or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, being the discount version of two big name stars that I never realized how much they looked like each other until I saw Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Robert Downey Jr., Javier Bardem, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you look at these three guys together, it's crazy. Can you tell who is who? It's like Iron Man and the Killer from No Country for Old Men had a baby together, and he grew up to be Negan from The Walking Dead. Sadly, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is nowhere near on the same pay scale as Robert Downey Jr., one of the biggest movie stars on the entire planet, or Academy Award winner and Hollywood's favorite Spaniard, Javier Bardem. So despite starring in a huge cable TV program and some major event motion pictures like Watchmen and Batman vs. Superman: Dawn of Justice, he's going to continue to be the discount version of those two icons. Next one, you might have some problems with this, but hear me out. David Schwimmer is the poor man's Nicolas Cage. Now, I realize Nicolas Cage is not exactly the superstar he once was, but at the time, David Schwimmer became famous on Friends and received subsequent movie parts after his role as Ross on the hit NBC series. All I ever saw on the big screen was a poor man's version of Nicolas Cage in a role Cage probably turned down because it was either too little screen time or too little money. They resemble each other, but even more than that, their voices sound oddly similar. Schwimmer's just more even-keeled, and Cage acts like he goes off the deep end a lot more often. But I honestly think Cage could play any Schwimmer role, and Schwimmer could play almost, notice I said almost, any Nick Cage role if he lowers his inhibitions a little, or in the case of some Nicolas Cage movies, if he lowers them a lot. I really think there's a resemblance there, and nobody really talks about that one. Next one. Hayley Bennett is the poor man's Jennifer Lawrence. After I saw The Girl on the Train, it was the first time I noticed Hayley Bennett, and all I could think of was that the producers wanted Jennifer Lawrence, but she was either too expensive or turned them down. And this really hurt the film and took me out of the picture every time I saw her on screen. Just look at them, look at their pictures, or better yet, run a Google image search with both their names. No matter what color they dye their hair, blonde, brunette, red, poor Hayley Bennett looks so much like the cheaper version of Jennifer Lawrence. In the long run, if enough people think the same way as me, it will hurt Hayley Bennett's career if Jennifer Lawrence starts to stall and she will never get the top priority roles that Jennifer Lawrence is offered, even if it doesn't stall. But in the meantime, she can enjoy being Jennifer Lawrence on a discount, appearing in such films as The Magnificent Seven remake and Rules Don't Apply and the aforementioned Girl on the Train. Next one, Skeet Ulrich is the poor man's Johnny Depp. Now, this one was probably intentional. I'm willing to bet it was done on purpose. And their careers reflect each other to a point. Hear me out. Johnny Depp's first role was in Wes Craven's biggest hit of the 80s, A Nightmare on Elm Street. Skeet Ulrich's breakout hit was in Scream, Wes Craven's biggest hit of the 90s. Wes Craven obviously wanted a Johnny Depp type, or to discover the next Johnny Depp. And he pretty much got a dead ringer for Depp, minus a few years, and at a much cheaper price tag. After A Nightmare on Elm Street, Depp would go on to be a leading man in huge blockbuster movies for the next 30 years and counting. After Scream, Ulrich would have big roles in a few motion pictures like James L. Brooks's As Good As It Gets, a Best Picture nominee, Richard Linklater's The Newton Boys, and Ang Lee's Ride with the Devil. But by the time the new millennium began, it was all over for Skeet. And some of Depp's biggest roles, mainly a pirate, was right around the corner. So they look so similar, and their careers started off so similar, but just one kept going and getting bigger and bigger, and the other one obviously did not. Next one, Jesse Plemons is the poor man's Matt Damon. Maybe not necessarily the poor man's version of Matt Damon, more like Matt Damon's fatter younger brother. But one still cannot look at Jesse Plemons and not think of Matt Damon. And with the reddish hair that Plemons has, if Philip Seymour Hoffman were still alive, I'd probably include him somewhere in this section. But in the meantime, if Matt Damon turns you down, Jesse Plemons is the next best choice. Speaking of Matt Damon, here is another one that he knows these two people very well. Casey Affleck is the poor man's Ben Affleck. Now I know that they're brothers, and I am well aware that Casey is the one with a Best Actor Academy Award and not his big bro. But since winning his Oscar, Casey Affleck has become a pariah in the Hollywood community because of certain accusations of misconduct, and he was not even invited to present the Best Actress Oscar at this year's Academy Awards, which is a tradition. I mean, that's a big deal. Plus, no matter what, his big brother Ben is still the bigger name and more of a box office draw, even if his Batman is the lowest grossing of the Batman movies and mired in terrible, he's stuck in terrible DC films. And even if he has a series of flops, he has certainly survived them and thrived afterwards. Casey, we do not know what will happen to his career from this point on, so it is generally safe to assume that Ben Affleck will continue to be the A-lister he has been for over 20 years, and Casey might still get the leftovers, maybe winning an Oscar on Ben's leftovers, but he still might get the leftovers. Next one, Sylvester Stallone, and you guessed it, Frank Stallone. This one is more of a joke. Thanks, Norm Macdonald, for embedding Frank Stallone in my head. There's a great clip on the website of the scenes they share in Rocky and Rocky 2. So moving on, back to serious business. Gary Busey and Anthony Heald are the poor man's Nick Nolte. All right, Nick Nolte's hardened, grizzled characters. He gets two actors that resemble him and often play parts that he would probably deem too small for his filmography. Gary Busey may be a household name from starring in a bunch of hit movies over the years, but there's no denying he and Nick Nolte have a strong resemblance, plus Busey's bizarre real-life antics probably make him just as famous as Nolte. Anthony Heald, on the other hand, is a character actor with perfect teeth and a face that is definitely similar to Nick Nolte's. You probably have seen him in supporting film roles such as The Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon, X-Men The Last Stand. If they ever make a movie where Nick Nolte has two brothers, I could easily see Busey should play the more disheveled loser black sheep brother, and Anthony Heald could be the stuck-up, successful, well-to-do brother. They really all look very similar to each other. Next one. Lily Sobieski is the poor man's Helen Hunt. Whatever happened to Lily Sobieski? In the late 90s and early 2000s, she was everywhere. I guess since Helen Hunt's star power dropped, so did the roles for her bargain bin version, Lily Sobieski. Oh well, Miss Sobieski did get to work with Stanley Kubrick on Eyes Wide Shut, and very few people alive can say that they were directed by the late, great Kubrick. Next one. Diane Kruger is the poor man's Keira Knightley. I would be willing to bet that when they were casting Troy, they really wanted Keira Knightley fresh off her breakthrough hit, The Pirates of the Caribbean. She was either unavailable, too expensive, or turned them down flat, so German director Wolfgang Petersen thought of the young and beautiful actress Diane Kruger, who has a striking resemblance to Miss Knightley. Diane Kruger would get a few more big roles in American movies, but since her breakout role in Troy, she's maintained a successful career, mostly working in Europe. Her biggest role to date is as the actress-spy Bridget von Hammersmark in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. Meanwhile, Keira Knightley balances her time between big-budget Hollywood productions and small-scale independent films and has earned a few Oscar nominations over the years. Next one. Michael Pitt is the poor man's Leonardo DiCaprio. Another one you can tell just by looking at them. DiCaprio is one of the biggest movie stars in the world. There is no way that he could possibly say yes to all the scripts he is offered, and there is no way that every producer and director that wants to hire him can afford his price tag. So somewhere, a casting agent discovered Michael Pitt. He took the lead role in Bernardo Bertolucci's The Dreamers after DiCaprio turned it down to work with Martin Scorsese again on The Aviator. But do not fret for Michael Pitt. He got his chance to be directed by Scorsese on the pilot episode of HBO's Boardwalk Empire, a part that DiCaprio easily could have played if he wanted to. Michael Pitt is almost like the TV version of DiCaprio, with roles in Dawson's Creek and lead roles in indie movies that are probably too small to afford DiCaprio, such as Last Days and Funny Games. Liam Hemsworth is the poor man's Chris Hemsworth. Another set of brothers. One is an A-lister from being Thor in the Marvel movies. The other is, well, his little brother, best known for starring in the Hunger Games movies, The Expendables 2, and Independence Day Resurgence, and taking a backseat to Jennifer Lawrence, 80s action stars, and Aliens, respectively. Next one. Stephen McHattie is the poor man's Lance Henriksen. Most people do not know who Stephen McHattie is, and sadly, a lot of people probably do not know Lance Henriksen by name, but they will definitely know his face from some huge hit movies, going all the way back to a pivotal role near the end of Dog Day Afternoon, and his mug is even more noticeable in The Terminator, Aliens, Near Dark, Alien 3, Scream 3, the list goes on and on. Stephen McHattie has carved out a nice career for himself as a character actor, but his resemblance to Lance Henriksen makes him look like he was always the filmmaker's second choice. You might recall seeing Stephen McHattie in such films as Beverly Hills Cop 3, Secretary, Watchmen, and a myriad of television shows from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Most of his resume is filled with lower-budget productions that Lance Henriksen could have probably played, but turned down for bigger paychecks. Virginia Madsen is the poor man's Sharon Stone. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, Virginia Madsen and Sharon Stone probably competed for a lot of the same roles, and some went to Miss Madsen while others went to Miss Stone. However, once Basic Instinct was released and Sharon Stone showed the world her hoo-ha in the world's most famous interrogation scene, she launched to the A-list with bigger scripts, bigger roles, and became one of the biggest actresses of the 90s, despite being typecast as the same role she played in Basic Instinct, the film that launched her to superstardom. Virginia Madsen was never shy about showing a little skin. Check out The Hotspot to see her reveal a lot for Don Johnson, but none of the films she had a lead role in were ever the type of hit Stone had with Basic Instinct. Virginia Madsen went from being Sharon Stone's peer to getting whatever was left over from what Sharon Stone turned down. Luckily, as Stone's sex appeal and a series of bad film roles started to decline her box office clout, Virginia Madsen kept on working and eventually earned herself a well-deserved Oscar nomination for Sideways, which resulted in a brief career resurgence for her, with some big roles opposite big-name actors like Harrison Ford in Firewall, a plethora of big stars in Robert Altman's A Prairie Home Companion, and Jim Carrey in The Number 23. But because of Sharon Stone's willingness to show all in the highest-grossing erotic thriller of all time, the 90s were not a kind decade to Virginia Madsen. Christopher Eccleston is the poor man's Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes' movies may not consistently blow up the box office, but after starring in successful films and Best Picture winners such as Schindler's List, The English Patient, and The Hurt Locker, and even becoming James Bond's new M in Skyfall and Spectre, Ralph Fiennes is a household name. Christopher Eccleston, on the other hand, is not, but my lord, does he look like Ralph Fiennes. He looks more like Ralph Fiennes than his younger brother Joseph, who has not appeared in a film seen by the masses since 1998's Best Picture winner, Shakespeare in Love. Christopher Eccleston, on the other hand, has never starred in a Best Picture winner, but he was in a Best Picture nominee, Elizabeth, from 1998, and David Cronenberg's Existenz, which felt like the bargain bin version of The Matrix, and the hit film The Others, which felt like a knockoff of The Sixth Sense. So his career matches his star caliber. Eccleston's biggest box office hits are Gone in 60 Seconds and Thor: Dark World. Meanwhile, Ralph Fiennes' grandchildren probably do not have to ever worry about money after all the dough he made from playing Voldemort in the Harry Potter franchise. And finally, Bradley Cooper is the younger Sean Penn. Notice I did not say he was the poor man's Sean Penn, since I think at this point Bradley Cooper may have a bigger price tag and box office drawing power than Penn. Every time I see Bradley Cooper in a movie, all I can think of is that he is playing a role Sean Penn could have done 10 or 20 years ago. On the flip side, when you look at Sean Penn's greatest hits, like State of Grace, Dead Man Walking, and Mystic River, couldn't Bradley Cooper have played those parts if he were old enough at the time? I think so. The main difference between the two? Bradley Cooper has a sense of humor, and Sean Penn does not. Cooper starred in comedies and continues to do so even after earning award nominations and accolades for his work. Just look at him on SNL. Sean Penn would never be caught dead doing any of that. The only comedic role Penn has taken in his career was as Jeff Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High all the way back in 1982, when he was still trying to make it big. At the same time, I think Sean Penn has a certain intensity to him that makes his dramatic work a step above many other actors from his generation. And Bradley Cooper does not have that extra level of gravity in even his best dramatic work. They are similar. There is a resemblance, but they are hardly identical, nor is either actor the discount version of the other. I just think, I look at Bradley Cooper and I see Sean Penn, but I also think if I was younger and I was discovering Sean Penn's work later in life, I would look at Sean Penn's older movies and see Bradley Cooper. I attached a video showing Bradley Cooper asking Sean Penn and other legendary film personalities questions on Inside the Actors Studio. You should take a look at that. There are two more poor man's versions I chose to leave off. John Polito is the poor man's Danny DeVito, and Timothy Oliphant is the poor man's Bill Paxton. Since both Polito and Paxton have passed away, I did not feel it would be in good taste, but I always saw those actors as the discount version of the bigger name stars. I wrote about Polito after he passed away, and he even got to spoof his image as being like Danny DeVito type when he played Danny DeVito's brother on a few episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Are there any other actors I left off that are bargain bin versions of the big name star? Let me know. I'm Jason Konigsberg, panning and slamming movies for you. Live long, prosper, and watch movies.